many of you in the past have been so kind to me when I've been able to come and have, say, dinner at your house. You've actually gone out of your way to make sure maybe those brown rice, make sure those vegetables there, make sure those fruit, and there wasn't fried chicken, but baked chicken, because you're considerate of my coming. And I appreciate that. But when we said this journey of health, I did not want it to just be about a life that I lived, but I want it to be a life that we all lived. And I know that many of you have actually taken big steps in your life where you are making better choices to the things that you put in your body. And we all walk on this journey together. And I was thinking to myself that, you know, it could have been easier to just focus on me and eat healthy and exercise and leave it all to myself. But that wouldn't be the gracious thing to do. It wouldn't be the act of love to do. It wouldn't be the thing that is out of love. I think when you walk in love and love those that God has put in your life, you want to share what is true and what is relevant. So I want you to know that at the bottom of my heart is a deep concern of love that makes me advocate for health every single year to say, hey, let's think about health, because God has blessed us with tremendous bodies, and it's really important to do that. Amen. Last Sunday, Tom said something that I thought was really powerful. He talked about a guy who was a fitness trainer that had a heart attack. You remember that? And it's easy for people to go to the extreme and say, hey, why even think about health when this guy just had a heart attack? But it's a comment that Tom said. He said, perhaps by him being devoted to eating right and exercising, he was able to extend his life for another 20 years. You remember that? But if he didn't do that, he might have gone out 20 years ago, because genetics was not on his side, right? And I'm thinking, what if our devotion to God and taking care of our bodies and being health conscious, what if that added 10 years to our life more than we would have had? What if it added 5 more years? Okay, what if it added 1 more year? Would it not be worth the sacrifice we make to pass and let the donuts go and all this processed food and all the crap and say, you know, I'm not going to eat that? What if your choices of to its health would just give you another year, another 5 years, another 10 years? Wouldn't that be good? It would be awesome. Now, here's what I think. When we think about health, we have to be very careful that we are not carried away with vanity. Because the world, when they talk about health, it's all about vanity. It's how about you look. You got to be this size. You got to fit this clothes. And it's all vanity, and it goes into self-worship. So as Christians, we have to be careful that our motive for health has nothing to do with vanity, but has everything to do with honoring and glorifying God with our bodies. Yeah. Yeah. Because if I give up glutton and overeating for just to look good, then I'm giving up one sin for another sin. Right? So I want to overcome the sin of overeating and glutton just for the glory of God, not for the vanity of the world. So when we do this, because the world is talking about health, but it's all from a vanity point of view. But as for us, it's for the glory of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Psalms 139, verses 13 to 14. It says, for you formed me in my inward parts. Right? That's what God says. You formed me in my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. So God formed me. And look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, I will praise you for what? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows it very well. Now,
fearfully and wonderfully made. Our bodies have been fearfully and wonderfully made. You see, there are many cars in the world, but there's some cars that are fearfully and wonderfully made. And those cars are now used to deliver pizza because they're fearfully and wonderfully made. There are many shoes, but there are some shoes that are wonderfully made. And we don't put on those shoes when we're working in our backyard. There are many clothes that are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we don't wear those clothes to lounge at home and watch TV. There are some things that are wonderfully made, and because of how they're wonderfully made, they call for greater care. Now, if the things that are made by man that are fearfully, wonderfully made get a lot of care and attention, what about what God created, the human body? Should the human body that God created get extra attention and care because it wasn't just made, but it was fearfully and wonderfully made? Think with me about that. There's a fact that a lot of people take care of their cars better than they take care of their bodies. And that's lopsided, and that's the lie of the enemy. Friends, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that in itself is a reason enough to say, I'm going to take care of this body because God made it fearfully and wonderfully. Now, the Bible also tells me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, do you not know that your body are temples of the Holy Spirit? In the Bible days, when they said the word temple, it had everything to be centered about God. It made a place of worship. A temple is a place that was sacred. A temple indicated a place of reverence and a great amount of care and concern. A temple was highly exalted than your habitation, than your house. A temple is a place of reverence, a place where they met God. And so when they say your house is a temple, they were saying you need to think about your body as a place of great reverence and care, because your body, God, by His Spirit, has chosen to make it His abode. And He said, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Who you've received from God. And look at that. It says, and you are not your own. You see that? You are not your own. Look at that. You are not your own. You are not your own. So what if I thought about my body like God lent me this body?
Yes.
So I could be on this world. What if every morning I looked at my body to, like, this is my body, ain't my body. So I'm going to be careful what I do with the body, what I feed the body, because it's my body. I know, you never thought about that. That's why it's hard to say amen. But it goes ahead to say, you are bought at a price, therefore glorify God. In what?
In your body.
In your body. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. How many know it's easy for us to glorify God in our spirit because I just want to be able to eat what I want? But God says, I want you to glorify me not only in your spirit, but also in your body. Glorify me not only in your spirit, but in your body. Somebody told me, you know, it's easy for you to eat healthy because you didn't grow up in America. I was like, I told him that all the people that have helped me help in health, that have mentored me in health, have been all Americans. And they grew up here. And then people that inspire me. And I say, let me tell you something, brother. Because he was a brother. I said, listen, man, I grew up eating junk as well. You understand? I grew up eating sugar and fried foods. I wasn't healthy. So here's the thing. You got to be careful the devil doesn't stop you and be like, oh yeah, it's easy for him because he didn't grow up in America. No, that's a lie from hell. Because all my mentors are people born and raised in America. I don't know where that came from, but I had to just throw that in. So your body, glorify God. And I want you to think about that. God says, glorify me in your body. So the body needs some attention. So when we talk about health in the month of, you know, in whatever month, a year we do this, we're not wasting time. We're trying to honor God with our bodies. So that's what he said we should do to glorify God in your body. Now, since your body is a temple, I want to talk about two simple things of how we can honor God and glorify God in our body. Okay? Just two simple things today. And one of them is being able to move your body. Move your body. Because the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8, for physical training is of some value, right? But godliness has a value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and life to come. That verse does not say physical training has no value. It says physical training has some value. He's saying it has some value relatively to spiritual training, because spiritual training has greater value because it takes you to eternity and will last forever. But it doesn't disregard the fact that physical training also has some value. When you put the two together, of course spiritual training is greater, but it doesn't mean physical is not. But what he's saying, that if all you focus on was physical training but never had spiritual training, they will all be in vain. But if you had spiritual training and a physical training, then you'd be complete. So he says, look, they both have value, except that spiritual training has greater value. But as well as physical training has some value. So God says, you need to train your body physically, move your body, and that is a way you honor God. Now, when you're going, Rico talked about this last night, about the types of body and your body and all that. But here's something I want to add on. If you're going to take your body and move your body, you need to include some type of resistance training. All right? Some type of resistance training to your body. Here is why resistance training to your body matters. Here's a study that was done by the School of Internal Medicine. And they came up with this graph. And they say that as we age, bone mass density at the age of 30, 40, it's kind of the same, but at the age of 40, it begins decreasing. By nature, decay begins to happen. That's why at the ages between 40 to 70, there's a lot of falls, a lot of fracture, bone fractures, and stuff like that. Because at the moment you peak in life, because the little cats, their bone density growing stronger, but when you get over that time, now you're by nature, by science, by design, by genetics, your bone density begins to decay, begins to weaken. All right. Now, men have an advantage over women, and that's by just the way we're made, because men are supposed to be strong and take care of the women and protect the women. So God designed our bones to be a little stronger, but we're all going down. Right? But science also says that if you do resistance training, this curve, you can move it up. So you wouldn't gradually drop, but you would help to maintain and not allow that to happen at the rate in which it happens. And then about your muscles, they also published this study that as we grow, again about the same age, about 40, talking to all you 40-year-olds, what happens, look at that, when you are untrained, no resistance training, no physical training, like the Bible says, physical training has some value, but if you don't have any physical training in your life, this is what happens to your muscle mass. It just begins dropping, your muscle mass, the ability for your body to develop muscle that will sustain your health.
So, but look at that top curve, the lifelong training. If you make your lifestyle to have resistance training in your life, even though you're going down, because that's the way it is, you know, there's nothing you can stop going down, you're going down. But if you're doing that, this is a lot better than this.
Yeah.
How many would choose that over this? So that's why it matters. It matters that you move your body, you have some physical training going, resistance training going, and if you do that, it says this is what's going to happen. You are able to have that lifelong training. They also did say, on that study of Institute of Internal Medicine, they found that people over 40 that were engaged in moderate exercise, but five times a week, over 15 years of lifetime, they get themselves to some resistance physical training, they were able to lower the rate of bone density decrease and muscle loss by 80% compared to the people that did not do anything. So decay is inevitable, right? But like we say last Sunday, there's a lot that God has put in your genetic ability. God has put a lot in your own power. A lot of it is within your control. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And here's the cool thing they say too. His name is Dr. Sella. He's a guy who was leading the research on that. He said there's no age when it's too late to begin applying physical training in your life. He said at any point you start putting that in your life, adapting that lifestyle of resistance training every day, you are going to begin to get. That's how beautiful, that's how wonderful God made our bodies, because it's never too late. Can I get an amen right there? It's never too late. You can start to do something. Now, if you want to find out how to do some resistance training, you can talk to Rico. But here's the thing, you got to do some to be able to stay healthy. Now, other benefits of exercise, here's some of them that they came out with. It manages your weight. Strength training can help you manage or lose weight. Now, what happens when you lose weight? Your metabolism goes up. When your metabolism goes up, you're able to burn more calories. If you're not exercising, then the muscle mass you lose is turns into fat. So you either use it or lose it. But if you don't use it, that muscle that is being converted, it just converts into fat, which slows down your ability to metabolize food and slows your ability to burn calories. All right? Also, it helps to increase the quality of your life. If you move your body, strength training may enhance your quality of life, improve the ability to do everyday activities, like being able to walk and going for walks every day. All right? Improve balance. Balance is very important. A lot of older people lose balance and fall. I've met 40, 50-year-olds say, I just fall and broke my leg. The reason why we lose balance is because there's not enough muscles around our bodies to sustain us, to maintain balance. So that's why it's important that God gives us more life, I don't want to say as we age, as God gives us more life, that we take care of our bodies in that sense. Because it's not fun when your bones break. It's also a blessing. It helps you to manage chronic conditions. It reduces signs of symptoms of depression or anxiety, all those kind of things that kind of come and just back pain, arthritis, all those chronic conditions. If you exercise, it's just going to help you tremendously. And I like the last one. It sharpens your thinking skills. They believe that when you exercise, chemicals are released into your brain, and your brain gets, excited, and you're able to be
quite, you know, the ability to analytically look at things and think about things. It just helps to sharpen your brain because more oxygen is going to your brain because of physical activity. Now, I don't want to go in details on that because there's a lot of research on that, but I want you to know that if the Bible says physical training is of value, science just came along to approve it and confirm it. God said it before there was any love in the world. God said it before there was any genetic research and science. And God said it before man knew what protein is and what carbohydrates are. God said it before there was any understanding of the scientific terms that we know today. God said it. And science came by to confirm it. Can you say amen to that? That's how good God's word is. You know, so that's why it's important, friends. If God says it, let's do it. We may not understand everything, but if God says physical training is good, then I'm going to get off my butt and go for a walk and do something. All right. Number two, eat real food. Just eat real food. What is real food? Real food is God-made food. The reason why we have real food is because there's also fake food. There's also wrong food. There's also food that is made by man. And we don't start eating real food by adding on, by eliminating things out of our lives that are not made by God. Food made by God brings forth life. But food made by man brings forth sickness and disease. You see, God say in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32, he said, "See that you do all I command you. Do not add or take away." So what did man do? We began to take away from what God made. We looked at rice, we said we can take away this outer chemical, this enzyme. You need to take them away. We made the rice white. God said, do not take away. We said to take away stuff. God said, I made you almonds or nuts. And we said, we're going to add on some chocolate on them. God said, I made you some strawberries. And no, we're going to add some chocolate on the strawberries. Well, of course, God made chocolate, but you know what I'm talking about. Or maybe God made cocoa, he didn't make chocolate. You know, but the thing is, God made things, and what did we do? We added to them, or we took away from. And so he says, do not add or take away. If you want to honor God with your body, think about eliminating things out of your life that God never created that you've been feeding that body. Amen. 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 And amen. Amen. I'm just challenging us, church. I'm calling us to action. Whatever God didn't create, let's stay away from it. Let's start eliminating one by one. Say, you know what? This God didn't create. I need to take it out of my life. Yes. You see, what God made has a process. The things that God made has three stages. God food, real food, has a ripening stage, a freshness stage, and a rotting stage. That's how God made it. And that's when he created Adam and Eve. He gave them that. He said, guys, this is what you're going to eat. And a guy in a white coat in the lab came up with what we should eat instead of what God wanted us to eat. They believe in science that when food is moving from a ripening stage to a freshness stage, it begins growing the nutrients, the micronutrients that your body needs. Now, if something doesn't fall in that category, then God didn't create it. So, I got to show you something here. All right. I wish I had my mic was working today, but it wasn't. But let me just... Oh, okay. All right. right. So, who made that? Matt made this. How much life did this bring into your life? How many ingredients are in this thing? Terrible. Man made this, came to destroy it. So what should we do with this? Trash it. But God made this. God made that. Why? Because it had to ripen. It's fresh. And a week later, this might rot. So what do I say? Have that. You see, God made stuff. Now, there's also research. Here's walnuts. The things that God made were supposed to bring healing and life. It's been said that a walnut looks like a brain. Why? Because got some oils that are good for your brain. So God says, I want life in you, so I want you to eat what I made. So this God made is good for you. I think Sister Viola, you would like this, because I know you like walnuts. Right? God made those. Now, celery. What's the shape of celery? It's like a bone. They believe there's nutrients in this that is supposed to help your bones. God made it that way. So, why not eat what God created? How about you have this? Right?
Get some soup. Yeah, get some celery. Don't overcook it. Just eat it.
Yes.
Carrots. Whoa. They also say, when you break a carrot, it looks like an eye. People an eye. Why? Because God made it to be good for your eyes. Crunchy, huh? Good stuff, guys. God made this for help. Man come by, made some different. Packaged. Massively produced. Produced in millions. Packed in shape. This could be on your shelf for 2 years. And you can still eat it. 10 years because man made. But stuff in here were not designed to be in your body. But we grow up eating this stuff. It's about time. So, you know, I'm going to honor God with my body. Because my body is his temple. So what are we going to do? We'll trash that. And I'm going to make sure that's trash. Because some of you are looking at it, trying to figure out how to strategize into it. But the point is, we have to take care of our bodies. Amen.
Do you have body issues? I'm not talking about from deep psychological or regressed childhood issues. I simply mean, do you have an issue with your body? As in, it's not like you'd like it to be? You know, there's no mystery about how to slim down and get in shape, right? You just move your body more and be smart about what you put into your face. It's as simple as that. Really, don't complicate it. Complicating it is a disguise to continue to make poor choices. Someone says, oh, I don't know how to lose weight, as they stick a blueberry muffin into their face. Now, you might be asking, okay, Darren, what do you mean about smart about what you put into your face? Okay, let's clear up the great mystery right here, right now, this very morning. While it's true that the food packaging and advertising will try to fake you out, so you have to be extra smart in these modernized and maximized for mass production and mass profit world, most food products end up having little to no actual nutritional value once you stuff it full of preservatives, additives, and process it for long haul national and international distribution. It still comes down to being smart. Just vet your choices through this simple wisdom. You ready? You don't need to know much about it if you just follow this rule. When you read the ingredient list and you can't pronounce most anything on it, don't eat it. If it looks like it was made in a lab, don't eat it. Yes, still follow this no matter what it says on the package. Low fat, no sugar, low cal, low carb, whatever. Those are marketing descriptions, not food descriptions. When those are advertised on the package, that's when you really need to be careful. Because whatever they've taken out of the food, they have replaced with some concoction that was made in a petri dish by some food engineer in some laboratory with chemicals to simulate taste while trying to induce the insatiable craving and addiction to that particular product. It's true. That's the game of food technology. To sum up all foods into one guiding principle, here's what I use. If nature made it, it's probably okay to eat. If man made it, especially one in a lab coat, you better be careful. You don't see any pasta trees or M&M bushes now, do you? Cupcakes, muffins, bagels, chips aren't harvested from the soil either. And even if it once was something whole, but since has been processed to be unrecognizable to its original shape, like hot dogs, hamburgers, sausages, dips, and sauces, be vigilant there too. Look, it's simple. You become what you eat. What you put into your face becomes what fuels your heart and the vessel that you've been assigned to take care of. You are fueling the most precious and miraculous machine ever created, your body. Do you realize that? What you're putting into your mouth is the medicine that your entire system will have to deal with, much of which is toxic, chemical-laden, and inflammatory to your system. I know you want to eat it because it tastes good, but once it passes your tongue and rolls down your throat, now your body has a world war to fight. As the adage goes, what tastes sweet in the mouth goes bitter in the belly and ends up in your coronary arteries and on your thighs. Hey, look, you wouldn't feed your championship racehorse chips, cake, pizza, and soda, but yet you feed yourself and your kids that stuff. Most people are more cognizant and vigilant about what their dogs eat and don't eat and what supplements they get than they are with themselves and their own children. Doesn't seem right now, does it? So come on, it's time to start taking care of the miracle system you've been charged with stewarding. Your action item for today is this. If you're home right now, if you're not, do this later today. Number one, get up from where you are and go to the pantry. Number two, take out everything that has ingredients that were made by a guy in a laboratory coat and not by your mother. Mother Nature, that is. Three, throw all that stuff away. And no, don't give it to someone else to poison them. That's criminal. Just pitch it. Oh, I know you're saying it's perfectly good food and you feel bad about just throwing it away, right, my guilt-ridden Catholic friends? First off, it's not good food, it's poison. And secondly, you shouldn't have brought it into the house in the first place. You are just repenting now for the sins of your poor decisions and willpower. So chuck it, all of it. Don't think about it, just do it. Your body and your family will be better for it.